Need a half dozen brooms to get a Quidditch game going at your house? Don't go to the store. Shop on Amazon.com. Get the best deal on everything you need, even if it's for fake Harry Potter sports. At Amazon.com, you can help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. We are live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the only show that is going to talk about exploding horse manure. It's with Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Boy, we have a lot to talk about here on another crazy week on the Opposite Worlds podcast. It's only a few minutes after the most recent Duel of Destiny, and sadly, we saw it was Danielle who went out at the hands of Steve. She was spurned by Steve in the Duel of Destiny this week. And so we'll talk about everything that happened. Here with me to break it all down is our panel of Opposite Worlds experts. Let's start here with the Tabulator. Kurt Clark is back with us. Tabulator.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. And we have Brian is also with us. Brian Lynch.
Hello, Rob and Kurt. And just so y'all know, I brought my broom just in case a Quidditch match broke out up in here.
That's fantastic. Now, Brian, is there anybody that's watching the show tonight that you would like to say a special hello to, if you want to take a few moments to say hi to anybody at home?
Oh, special hello. Well, I guess
I'm sorry, Brian, we gotta go. We gotta move on to something else now. Sorry about that. Damn. What the hell was that? Why would Luke Tipple do that to poor Frank? He's lucky Frank didn't rip his head off.
Production was probably telling him, stretch it out, but not that much.
Really? I mean, Frank said five words, like, oh, all right, we gotta move on. Really? I mean, we spent 15 minutes playing Quidditch in the house. We couldn't let Frank... since when are we in a hurry to do anything on the Opposite Worlds live show?
Maybe Luke just missed the cue to wrap that on up and then got the big wave from producers.
Yeah, wrap it up. Sorry, Frank. All right. Anyway, so we are live here on Wednesday night, and so we want to hear from you guys talking about Opposite Worlds. We have a bunch of people watching us live. We want to see you guys on Twitter. Use the hashtag RHAP. We've got our chat room going as well on robhasawebsite.com, or you could post your comments on the YouTube video directly if you're watching it right now or after the fact if you go to our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. So a crazy week in the Opposite Worlds house here, guys. We had a changing of the guard where Team Epoch moved a, I'm sorry. Which team is which? Kronos was in the future.
They're right. In the past now. They were in the future.
Okay. So anyway, so the house is switched. We also had Frank switch team. So a lot of stuff going on, and it was a real meltdown for the team that went to the past that had been living in the future for so long.
Yeah, you really saw Danielle apparently affected by it. I mean, I was wondering a little bit from the editing and the timing of the breakdown is if it was really the living situation that was getting to her, or if it was the fact that she was ranked just above Jeffrey in ninth place in the popularity index. So I wonder which it was that really was causing her to break down.
I don't know. But yeah, some breakdowns in the house this week. Very lots of stuff to talk about. All right, so let's talk about the most recent events of the night. We had Danielle now out of the game. Any impact whatsoever?
Less eye candy.
Yeah. But really,
she was hot. I'll give her that.
It's kind of just trimming off the weak player.
Right.
Here. I mean, the big showdown is going to be Frank, Jesse, or however it gets switched up again. It's going to be the big guys.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Danielle was one of the floaters here in the Opposite Worlds house. Really, other than the breakdown, can you tell me two other things about Danielle from her 4 weeks in the Opposite Worlds house?
She's the girl that reminded me of Ann Coulter.
She reminds Brian Lynch of Ann Coulter.
She likes to do squats with logs.
Squats with logs. Whoa.
She She was limbering up or lumbering up, I guess, as it were. She had this big log and she was doing squats with it.
Hey, now
that seems unnecessary.
One thing I would say about her was that she made that integrity pitch to America, and although that don't really translate well to playing the game, it does lend you to believe that she's a good person at heart.
So. No, sure. Very. It seems like a great person. That's about
I would agree.
It. That's about
I'll go
it.
With that.
That's
too,
about it.
Possibly too sweet for this game.
Yeah. I really, the opposite world's house has really been dominated by the male personalities. I mean, I don't want to, at the risk of sounding sexist, the women have really not brought much to the table here other than, you know, being there for some aesthetically pleasing purposes, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, the Sam and that alliance that the guys are scared of now, the name's escaping me. Sam, who's she aligning with?
Lauren.
Lauren, Sam and Lauren, you know, that's the big fear for the guys. And Frank and Jesse were trying to push that off, maybe get one of them girls into that challenge. And it was interesting that in the interview with Luke that Frank kind of suggested that he wasn't really on board with that whole plan.
No, Frank seemed like, and you would think that Frank would be the most gung-ho guy for the bro alliance, but Frank was like, no, I don't really think that's going on, so I'm not into that anymore.
It's not really advanced strategy, but he don't want to play the strategy game. He just wants to go beast mode.
Yeah, they asked
beast
him,
mode in Quidditch.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That Luke asked him, all right, Frank, so are you looking at more of a strategic game or or a physical game? And Frank's like, yeah, I'm probably going to go with the physical game. You know, he's consciously going to not do the strategic game. He's going to not go down that route.
That was a good Frank impression, actually.
Yeah.
Like, and I think opposite worlds may be learning why during the Big Brother live shows, there's very little requests for the contestants to have off the cuff responses. I mean, the live interaction that Julie has on Big Brother is at a minimum. People vote. You might have a one-on-one with the head of household in their room, and you have a post-show interview. But Luke's been going to these people for sound bits over and over and over again, and it really kind of falls flat every time. So hopefully they'll be kind of pulling back from that a little bit.
Yeah. The live show is still... You know, there are some issues there. There are some issues there, but it's tough to do it. So we'll see exactly what's going to happen now. The big one of the twists, turns, and tangles that we had on this episode was that we are now going to have an eviction every episode of Opposite Worlds as we go along here. So how do we think we're going to do this? Is the Tuesday night show going to be live also, or do you think that we will have a taped elimination on Tuesday nights?
My guess is that it's going to be taped. Otherwise, they'd have to have an eviction literally back-to-back nights in the real world, where they probably would space it out instead. Maybe like an eviction on Saturday or Sunday that gets shown on Tuesday. I don't know.
Okay. Sort of like when they get down to like five people in the Big Brother house?
Yeah.
What do you think, Brian? You agree with that?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean... There's going to be so much story jam-packed into these episodes that you might get some of the slowness eliminated from the live shows, but I'm not sure that even if it is live, most of the shots and the story is going to be recorded anyway.
Yeah. Let's talk about Frank switching teams, which was, I feel like, the biggest story of the week here on Opposite Worlds. So they lose, Frank's team loses the challenge. He gets selected to go over to the other team. But the twist is he doesn't have to leave the future. So Frank is pretty happy either way. So do you guys think, is this a net positive or a net negative for Frank to be having to switch teams at this point in the game?
It's a net positive because Frank, out of all the people in the house, needs to be in the future because of his dietary needs.
Ooh.
So I actually thought, wouldn't it be almost smarter to take Jesse and put Frank in the past and maybe weaken him for the end game?
Well, that would be a good way to go. I agree. I think it was a net positive also, because I kind of feel like if Frank's with both teams now, and I feel like the urgency to, we have to get Frank out, is diminished, because I feel like both sides feel like they can work with him.
They both think they have a weapon.
Yeah.
Right.
So I kind of feel like Frank is going to be in this thing pretty much all the way to the end.
Yeah. And I think now people are still with Frank kind of switching from one team to the other. I think that the players are starting to see that at the end, this is really going to be an individual game. It was a little bit of a Celebrity Apprentice moment where Trump saw that the teams were uneven and decided to switch somebody to have somebody have to switch to the other side. We're starting to see some shades of that here where the loyalties between groups are a little bit fluid.
Yeah. That would have been really interesting if, so tell me one more time, was it Epoch or Kronos? Which one was Frank originally on?
Kronos.
If Kronos would have won that challenge, what do you think they would have done? Would they have sent Fry to the other team?
Probably. That would have
been... Yeah. Poor Fry. Another tough week for him. He is really not digging living in the past. Are you feeling bad for Fry at all in this game?
I'm not.
Kurt, are you voting him down on Twitter?
I had at one point, but I let it up to the rest of the public this week.
Well, what's your take on him? I know that earlier in the season, Brian, I think you were saying that he was playing the best strategic game. Have you come off of that? Do you feel like Fry is still playing a great game?
I don't. I mean, he ran his mouth a couple weeks, and it just kind of – I mean, today's episode showed a little bit of recovery with this fake fight or whatever, but it remains to be seen how much that is believed throughout the house. So he may have recovered a little bit, but, I mean, you don't make those mistakes by just spilling your alliance out to the whole house.
But was the fake fight even necessary? I mean, I'm not really sure what was gained by it.
It wasn't necessary, but if it worked, if it's believed as a fight, it might provide some cover for JR and Jeffrey.
I thought Fry was a bad fake fighter also. Like, he was saying things like, he's like, whoa, 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 like, you're coming after me, and I thought we were friends, and yeah, okay, yeah, we shared things about each other's family, like, through the wall, and shared a lot of personal information, but now you're over the line there. Like, why do you have to say all that stuff?
And my tribe thinks that we have something going on, but now I want them to, he was overplaying his hand so much.
Yes.
You remember how we talked about whether or not Jeffrey's tears were real on the last episode, but he had a fake crying during that fight. He was trying to fake cry, and that was his fake tears. So we kind of know that he was really crying when he got busted in the bathroom talking to JR.
Yeah. Now, was he fake crying or real crying when he had to take a shower in the waterfall in the backyard?
No, those were real tears.
Those were real tears.
How he was burrowed into the hay bale when they found him.
That was very funny when they found him in the thing. He was like, you know, so disheveled and stuck in the backyard. Now, do we think that the house, I mean, it didn't look super cold tonight, right? But most of the Southeast is affected by this big ice storm, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd say that outside it looked lukewarm.
Right, there you go.
See what I did there? Okay.
It was way colder for the first 2 weeks in this game on Epoch in the past.
Yeah.
Than it is this week.
Yeah, I agree. I would say so. It definitely seemed like it was not as frigid. Like, they didn't have those big parkas. You couldn't see their breath as much. And, you know, whenever I see the weather report now and it's like, oh, big storms in the Southeast, I'm like, oh, no, those poor people in the opposite world's house.
Well, you could tell from Epoch, you know, when they didn't have a fire, it was a major concern for everybody around. And with Kronos, there's a couple of people trying to figure out how to light a fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about, well, let's see, where do we want to go next? You want to talk about the idea of the men's alliance that Jesse is trying to work out here, and if this is going to be a plausible thing that could really happen?
Yeah, well, that all came out of the first we heard of that was when he chose to have this conversation with Frank. And I think the best thing that came out of that decision was Frank telling Jesse, hey, you know, if you want to be safe, you need to become protected or they might just throw you up against me. That wasn't what your question was.
Yeah.
Lost it.
Well, the men's alliance sort of came about because of this fear that it's Lauren and our friend Sideboob Sam, who, you know, the futuristic outfit, not as good for SBS.
But she had the outfit that did have the side cut out, whereas Lauren did not. So I think the producers took that hint. There was a little bit initially. But I think it sounded like Jesse was planting, at least trying to get Frank to plant the seed in JR's head that there's a female alliance. Like, I don't think Jesse necessarily believed that initially. It's just like, you know what, Frank, if we want to save you, you have to convince JR that there is a women's alliance. And it went from kind of this hypothetical to this belief. I don't know if it actually exists or not.
What do you guys think?
Jesse was trying to come up with a way to get Frank protected from that group.
Right. Yeah.
But do you think the idea of a men's alliance is a good one? Like, if the men say, hey, you know what? Instead of us getting targeted every week for this stupid Duel of Destiny, why don't we just put the women up every single week and make them fight each other, and then we'll just all get to the end?
I mean, I guess it depends on two things. As long as you can guarantee that it's a guy that's going to be protected so that he can eventually be the decider. And secondly, and I forgot what the second thing was, but there was something else there. But yeah, you'd have to guarantee that the guy became the decider.
But let's give this a shot. So I got a text from Ian Terry earlier tonight, and he said he had something to say about Opposite Worlds. Let me see if it doesn't look like we're able to see him, but can Ian Terry, are you there? Could you hear us? Oh, here. Oh, hold on. Now he's muted. Yes, it looks like he is here and with us. Ian Terry.
Can you hear it?
Yes. Yes. Ian Terry joins us on our Opposite Worlds recap.
How's it going, Rob?
It's going fantastic. Ian, what did you have to say about Opposite Worlds tonight and so far this season?
You know, I think it's a pretty decent show. I'm glad that I'm tuning in. It's something to watch during the off season of Survivor and Big Brother, so I definitely like that. And I just wanted to point out that last week, one of the votes for the reward was that Jesse, if America had voted for the other option, would have gotten to pick the protector for the other team. So had America voted for that, it would have been a good outcome for Frank, because Frank would have ostensibly been protected by Jesse.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
So everybody is not exactly on the same page strategically so far in the Opposite Worlds. It seems like that, you know, some people are not really thinking everything through.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know how everybody else votes. The way I vote is I just pick one person, and then I just vote so that it'll slant it towards them, like it would be a favorable result for that person. But the other thing that I had thought about is that, do you think the teams are just going to be done away with at any point in time?
Well, what do you guys think an individual game of Opposite Worlds looks like?
I think we talked about that a little bit last week, and I think the fact that there's two sides of the house, you're always going to have at least two divisions, but it might get to the point where it's going to be at least individuals on each side of the house. I mean, I'm still wondering, we're going to be down to six people once we get to the final episode. Is it going to be a one-on-one final duel of destiny, where it's like we talked about the Royal Rumble scenario last week?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know if we've been, like, working towards any sort of, like, we just haven't had enough eliminations for there to be any sort of strategy taking a foothold here. I mean, what is the storyline here through 4 weeks of the show?
Right. And it's hard for people to plan their end game if they don't know what the scenario for the end game is.
Well, didn't at least one person tonight mention final game or like final challenge or something like that? I think Jesse mentioned it, right?
Well, I think that Luke has said that the final challenge would be a mano-a-mano sort of thing, where it's going to be two people in the final Duel of Destiny. But how we get to that point, at this point in time, that Luke said we've passed the halfway point. So you would imagine 3 weeks from tonight, is going to be the finale to Opposite Worlds, which I believe is also the premiere of Big Brother Canada and also the second episode of Survivor Cagayan. So I don't know exactly how we're going to attack that either. But as of this point, with the loss of Danielle, we have 9 people left in the game.
And I thought the show was only 6 weeks long. I thought the finale was 2 weeks from tonight, leaving us with 4 episodes left. So if there's three actual weeks left, great. We'll be down to potentially 4 people going to the finals.
Yes, I think so. So we'll see exactly what happens. Ian, were you disappointed that you've never gotten to play with horse manure in the Big Brother house?
I'm actually quite happy about that. Very happy about that, actually.
Yeah. Can anybody tell me why we needed a challenge involving horse manure?
It was an Old West theme this week, apparently. They really didn't touch on it that much. It was kind of a medieval theme 2 weeks ago when Wyatt went home, both in the Worldly Challenge and in the duel. And this week it was kind of an Old West theme in both of those, but they really don't even talk about that theme. So I guess lots of horses in the Old West. I don't know what last week's theme was.
It was robots.
As well.
It was robots.
It was poop as well.
It was manure. I hate manure.
It's a disturbing trend to have poop in every episode. If there's poop in the next episode, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, we know. Sci-Fi Network is really going with the scatological challenges and all sorts of prizes and rewards of like, great news. You won a challenge. You can have somebody from the other team handle your feces. Oh, great. Oh, that's awesome.
And then make you dinner.
And then they'll cook for you. Okay. Ian, tell me, who are you rooting for in this competition?
I would say that Lauren is my horse in this race. That's who I support.
Okay, Lauren.
And not just because she's hot, just to put that out there.
Yes. Well, currently sitting at number one in the power rankings is our own favorite from Rob as a Podcast. Steve is number one.
I like him, too.
Yeah, although I feel like my love for Steve has waned a little bit. I felt like he was a little too geeky with the Quidditch stuff. I felt like that was a little bit I liked when I thought Steve was going to be like a hardcore player in the game and not a guy talking about Harry Potter all the time.
It looked like he was reading off a teleprompter too at some points tonight, and I liked how they referenced that. Quidditch is based on a game from a popular children's book series. Like, he couldn't, like, officially say Harry Potter.
Yes.
Why is he sniffing the broom handle?
That I couldn't tell you.
I could tell you, but not on this podcast.
Whoa.
Oh.
Kurt, please. Steve is starting to seem a little more goofy than I thought he was going to be. Like, from his video, he made it sound like he was going to be almost like a major strategic force in the game. And so far, he's just been like, yeah, whatever you guys want me to do, I'm up for whatever.
Is it possible to be a major strategic force
guess,
in Opposite Worlds, though?
I guess
that's
not.
That's what I was going to ask. There's not that many inflection points of strategy really happen here.
That's fair.
Too many variables.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Let's see. What else happened this week that we want to touch on from this? I felt like this was one of the more boring duels of destiny. I felt like if anything should have been a timed competition, I felt like it should have been this one.
But I like Luke's effort to make it seem close. Like, there were a couple points where you're like, this is still anyone's game. You're like, no.
Yeah.
No, it's really not.
Yeah, it was like Steve was almost done and Danielle was like had just put her thing on. He's like, all right, it's 1-1 now. Like, making it sound closer than it is.
Yeah, first to two. Come on.
Yeah.
I also liked Steve is slowing down towards.
He's right slowing he's down a little bit slowing down.
Yeah. I do think it was interesting. We did see some of the, I guess it's to some extent in social strategy, in terms of who you're picking to be the protected. On the one hand, Jeffrey wanted to be selected selfishly as the protected, so he did not have to go in the duel, whereas everybody else is choosing the protected based on they think who has the best chance of America selecting as the decider.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, and I think that was an interesting kind of perspective that we got to see come out today.
I don't think that doing something because you think America is going to do something in any game like this is going to help you, because America can be spiteful bitches and they'll do the opposite of whatever you're wanting them to do all the time.
And you don't know how you're being edited.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that they said tonight that JR got more votes than anybody else has ever gotten on the show up against Jesse, who was the most popular player in the house last week. It didn't make any sense.
It could have been a 60-40 split, but just the sheer volume of votes could have exceeded previous weeks.
Why didn't we get the percentage, though? We got it every other time.
That's interesting. Well, that speaks more to what Kurt's saying, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's my guess. They wanted to say something that was superlative.
Keith Dixon in the chat has a very good question. He wants to know... why was there a giant hand popping out of the bathtub with a whip in the course? Can anybody tell us what that meant?
The standard fixture in Old West decor, Rob.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Again, I could tell you, but not on this podcast.
Whoa. let's see. I'm wondering if we have any questions about this episode. I know we all have a lot of questions about this episode in Opposite World after 4 weeks, but I want to know if we have any questions from the live audience. If Scott St. Pierre has any, we want to get those, because we have at the top of this hour, we are going to have our first Miss Survivor finalist interview. We're going to talk with Sierra Easton in about 20 minutes here on Rob Has a Podcast. So Brycey, Brian Lynch is clapping. Brian, is that your pick? Have you endorsed Sierra?
Yes.
Oh.
She was the only one I voted for.
Yeah, Brian has...
She voted out her mom and made her love it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's impressive.
She voted along with the majority that was already planning to vote out her mom.
Tabulator, you need to stay neutral on these things.
The tabulator has checked out for 4 seconds. And he's back.
Yeah. Ian, have you made an endorsement for Miss Survivor?
No, the person I was endorsing got voted off. So out of the remaining candidates, I will go either... Who's left in it? Andrea, Sierra, and...
Candace? Yes.
Go Andrea or Sierra, either one.
Andrea or Sierra, okay. All right, so let's bring in some questions here from you guys. Of course, questions come to us via RHAP hashtag on Twitter. And so let's start off tonight... This is from Edward Morris, who wants to know, did JR make the right call picking Danielle and Steve over maybe Lizette and Frank? So what do we think? Was that the right call to get Danielle out of the game? Ian?
Yes.
But why? Yeah, who cares?
Here's why. Because I don't think that you want to put Frank in that, because the only... thing in that challenge that seemed to be difficult in any way was putting the spur through the barrel, and like, how can you tell who's going to be good at that?
Yeah.
So it was pretty much a total crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
I think
no, actually, the previous challenge was a crapshoot. Yes, there you go.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, Frank would just smash the barrel and busted the thing through it.
Yeah, Frank would have smashed the barrel like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Great. All right, let's go to the next question. This is from Jorge Alvarado, who wants to know, who is your favorite alliance? Wolfpack, Frank and Jesse, JR and Fry, Sam and Lauren? All right, so who's your favorite alliance? Is it Wolfpack? Woo! Woo! Woo!
No,
sorry about Wolfpack.
I'll say Frank and Jesse.
Yeah, Frank and Jesse.
The James brothers.
Yeah, because Jesse's playing the game well.
Yeah.
And Frank's a beast.
Yeah. I do like Frank and Jesse.
They're all right.
Yeah. Who do you like, Ian?
The girls. I like the girls.
The girls. Yeah. That's right.
Shocker.
All right. This is from Raymond King, who wants to know, why didn't Opposite World explain that both teams put up someone from elimination, no matter who the decider is, as JR and Danielle kept mentioning?
What?
Did you find... Yeah.
Sorry, I misunderstood the question.
Yeah, I don't... I'm not sure if the person who had the question understands how exactly the show goes. So, just to clarify, both teams pick a decider, But then America selects the decider, and the decider picks the two people. It's not like King of the Nerds, where one team selects one person and the other team selects the other person. That's different.
Right. One team picks one person to be protected, and the two protected are voted on by America to become the decider.
Yeah. All right, let's do a couple more questions. This is from Tiger Rar. Wants to know, do you really think a female could win this game? Do you think that the do you like that males and females are allowed to go head-to-head, or should it be alternating male and female eliminations? Also, please discuss sexism on Opposite Worlds. All right, let's take this piece by piece from Tiger. Do you think it's fair?
Guys, discuss sexism on Opposite Worlds.
Yes, we will. We will. Do you guys think it's fair that men can go up against women on Opposite Worlds Duel of Destiny?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Surprisingly, is this? Yeah, we've had back. Last week's was a little unfair, but there was nothing inherently that easier or harder for a man versus a woman to do this challenge this week.
I think if you say that men and women, it's not fair for them to compete in the same competition, that would be sexist.
Yeah.
That would be sexist.
Personally, I think that almost all the games that have been, or at least the duels, have been pretty fair, except for the chase one. It's kind of like how on the Real World Road Rules Challenge back when they had the gauntlet, that was the only one where guys could go against girls, but all the games were fair. So
yeah,
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. Other than the first night where they had the joust on the platform with the stun guns, I think then they've been pretty even-handed with the challenges.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
All right, a couple more questions. This is from Brandon M24. Is this JR's game to lose? He's presumably setting him up as a Final Four with himself, Sam, Lauren, Jeffrey, where he will be the heavy favorite unless the injury hampers him. Yeah, I got to agree with Brandon here. And not just that, he's got the thing going on with Fry. He's got another thing going on with Jesse, potentially. He has a thing going on with the girls. He's got a thing going on with Steve. I mean, basically, he is playing basically Opposite Worlds as good as you could play it, right?
Yeah.
And America loves him.
Seems to, yeah. I think he was second behind Lauren in the popularity poll this week.
Yeah.
For me, it comes down to how the format of the final shakes out, right? Because if it's like a gauntlet of challenges, then, I mean, you may as well quit unless you're Frank or Jesse.
Yeah, like, for instance, does Fry have any chance to win this game? Is there any possible way he could win?
If he makes it to the final duel somehow and it's not at all based on skill or ability.
Let me tell you, yeah, the final Duel of Destiny is not going to be a puzzle, for the record.
Right.
You know.
And before we close out, Rob, the rewards and punishments for next week are actually very interesting.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's bring that up. Tell us what that. I don't have it open, Kurt.
So choice one is you can reward Lauren with a video message from home and punish Jeffrey by forcing him to remain silent for 24 hours.
Ooh.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah, video message, Jeffrey silent. Great. Choice two, Lauren cannot be chosen for the Duel of Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the punishment, if the decider picks Jeffrey for the duel, they will receive $1,000.
There you go.
You're joking, right?
That almost seems that like one. Production is trying to get rid of Jeffrey. Don't you think that?
Yeah.
And he's been good for the show.
They're bribing the decider to pick Jeffrey for the duel.
Yeah.
With cash.
Yeah. Ian, is this not like on Big Brother 1 when they tried to bribe the house guests with money to try to make that like a hot blonde chick
Beth.
Come into the house at like
Beth.
The,
her
at
name
the,
was
his,
Beth.
What was it like? Yeah. We'll give you guys each $30,000 if you $50,000 if you let this hot blonde move into the house.
The reason that was completely broken was because the Big Brother 1 house, the walls weren't tall enough. Right, so people would throw things into it, so they knew ahead of time that that's what's going to happen, so they all talked it out beforehand and decided that none of them would take the bribe.
Okay, well, that
which is odd because Chicken George wanted to walk out like 2 weeks before, so
yeah,
one has to wonder what his reservations were.
And ironically, this past week, Chicken George was actually moving the horse manure into the Opposite Worlds house for $5. That's what they paid Chicken George to do that. So it seems like a misfire to not take the 50 grand back then.
I see him regularly on some car auction channel that my father watches. I don't know what he, I guess he's an auctioneer, I think.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Two more questions. Nick 2S wants to know, is the rebirth of Jesse complete? Has Jesse 2.0 completely taken hold?
Sure.
Well, yeah.
He's gotten past the incident of breaking the leg. I mean, everybody knows that he didn't do that intentionally.
Yeah, and we liked
it. Right. This is time to come around about it, and admit he's playing a pretty decent game, I guess.
Yeah, he's doing good. We like Jesse. All right, do we have one more question, or I'll just take one from the chat room? All right, one last one. Here we go. This is from Edward Morris, who wants to know, I wonder how these non-live eliminations are going to work. Everybody for themselves? No, I think that they're still going to put people up into a Duel of Destiny. I just wonder how we're going to fit a worldly challenge and the Duel of Destiny. Although it's not like we have so much in these shows that they're jam-packed. I wonder if maybe that we'll have a Duel of Destiny and a worldly challenge or something like that, where it's like a two-part thing.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering how we're going to have America choose a decider for the Tuesday show when you can't promote that fact during Opposite Worlds on Tuesday. Because normally Tuesday you promote it for Wednesday, so when are they going to promote it for Tuesday?
Tabulator, would you offer your services to tabulate the votes overnight for the Tuesday night show to have a fair accounting of what America wants?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, Ian Terry, thank you so much for stopping in for Opposite
for
Worlds.
Me.
Yes. Well, we miss you, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again during the Big Brother Canada.
Yes, I'll be watching that.
Yes. Ian, do we suspect that the polar vortex will affect Big Brother Canada in any way?
No, because their house is entirely indoor. Oh, maybe it won't be this year because it's a new house. But yeah, it'll affect it. Why not?
Sure. Okay.
Sure, we'll just say it will. No hot tub.
That's very, very exciting. All right. So, Kurt and Brian, any final thoughts on Opposite Worlds for this week?
We're getting down to the wire.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about these eliminations, so I'm ready for it. Let's bring it on.
All right, let's see what happens. All right, so we are going to have a very quick turnaround here. I'll be back in about 10 minutes. We're going to get Sierra Easton on the line for her Miss Survivor interview. Then tomorrow we have a very busy day on Rob as a Podcast. I have three more of these interviews where we have, starting off, we're going to have Malcolm at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Then we're going to have a doubleheader starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have Andrea, and then we're going to go right into Candace. So that's going to be quite the doubleheader back-to-back, Andrea and Candace, tomorrow starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And as soon as I hear from the one and only Big Brother winner, Hayden Moss, when he wants to do his interview, I will also get that on the calendar for you guys on robiswebsite.com. Okay?
Great.
All right. Mm-hmm. Ian, if you talk to Hayden, tell him that we need to know when he wants to do his interview.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while.
If you're on the Big Brother alumni news group, post that message for me, okay?
Will do.
All right. So thanks so much, everybody. If you want more Opposite Worlds, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click the subscribe button if you're watching us live, or go to robiswebsite.com/YouTube. And for those of you guys who are not in the know about our new website to cover scripted TV, you could check out postshowrecaps.com, where starting this Friday, we are going to be covering all of season 2 of the Netflix original series House of Cards, when Zach Brooks and I will have a House of Cards podcast every day for you for 13 straight days as we binge watch House of Cards season 2 on Netflix. So you could join us at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific for that on Post Show Recaps. All right, everybody. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night, okay? Take care.
See you. Thanks for having me.
Bye.